Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're talking about, you know, the importance of what is happening. And I think, Steve, what happens so many times is that we can hear the news, we can get information, we can be even listening to VFN TV, and the information just begins to just go over us, or it goes in one ear and sometimes out the other.
No response.
Right. And the important thing right now is to stay on the forefront, is to stay alert. I've never seen so many people fall asleep, if you will, during times that are so important. There were times where you have to be awake. I mean, I think about the 10 virgins, you know, stay awake. This is the moment to stay awake. And they fell asleep. And we don't want to be ones that fall asleep. We want to be ones that stay alert and that have, you know, God's voice in our ears, and that we're praying with compassion, with certainty, with specifics towards Israel and towards our brothers and sisters, Christians that are being persecuted all over the world. And we need to stand, and we need to stand strong. And to think about, you know, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, you know, right now the negotiations for this Iranian deal, if you will, this is basically an agreement that would remove some sanctions and that, as I understand it, allow them the opportunity to develop nuclear weapons a lot faster than Israel would like them to have. Not only Israel, but the other Arab nations. You know, Saudi Arabia does not want Iran to have a nuclear weapon.
And it would garnish a whole arms race in the whole Middle East because obviously they don't want Iran to become that capable.
Absolutely. I mean, and here's the issue. You know, you have the P5 plus one. You have these other countries. I believe it's China, Russia, England, the United States, who have these nuclear weapons, right? A few other countries. But no one's concerned about Great Britain having a nuclear weapon. You don't see any outcry there. Why? Because Great Britain is not, England is not saying, we want to annihilate you. When you have the commander of the Iranian military saying that it's non-negotiable to erase Israel off the map.
It's a big difference.
It's not, that's non-negotiable. But what is negotiable is allowing them to have a nuclear weapon. When you have the Ayatollah Khomeini, who is the supreme leader, if you will, over Iran, who's actually saying that we're not necessarily married to this country. We worship Allah, and if Iran has to go, well, then it has to go. I think we should pay attention.
We can't just let those comments just wash over us. That's something they're responding to. Okay, they're this is something that we need to be aware of.
They're telling you. Yes. We're going to hit them. We're going to hit them, and are we partnering with them? Are we partnering with them? I think about what the prime minister said, Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, when he came and spoke to Congress, and he says, listen, many American presidents are concerned about the threat to America, and I'm paraphrasing here, about, you know, the threat to Americans and being concerned for our safety, yet the prime minister of Israel is concerned with his people's survival. There's a big difference. There is a big difference. And it's something that we need to pay attention, because I believe we're living in a defining moment. When you go back over history and you look back over time, there were significant periods of time. There were significant moments that changed everything. And what would have happened if you would have acted? There was a tipping point, if you will.
Oh, yes.
And a lot of people are happy to stand on the sidelines and just watch events happen.
Or others respond.
Sure. Or not respond. Or critique the response. A lot of Monday morning quarterbacking. Woulda, shoulda, couldas. But they don't act. They don't get engaged. And this is our moment. I believe this is our test as believers. What are we going to do? Are we going to bury our head in the sands? Are we going to say, well, that's just the Jewish people. They've always had these problems. And they will always continue to have these problems. And that's just the Middle East. And we'll never get out of there. I've heard those statements before.
And we can expose that by saying, but you're living now. You weren't living then.
What are you
going to
do?
Exactly.
What are you going to do?
Right.
And just recently in our program, we talked about how just the other day in Brooklyn, New York, a large Jewish community, a lot of Hasidics live there. Mm-hmm. They were being shot at with paintball, airsoft guns, I believe, but a paintball they were being shot at. You know, and that's, listen, nothing is minor, but in terms of what has been happening, because they've been killed and beaten up and all that, I mean, it's just nonstop. And what history has shown us and will continue to show us here in the future is that it's always first, the Jews first, and then the Christians second. And now we're seeing ISIS. And we're talking about Joel Richardson's book, The Beast in the Middle East, and you have ISIS who is chopping off the heads of children, of babies, selling women into sex slavery, burning people alive. And we sit and do nothing. And then we have a government who is exercising a policy of appeasement, if you will. It's making some sort of concession to another country so that we don't go into war. Let's just, what do you need? What do you want? You know, how can we pacify you, if you will, so that we don't go into war? And I like what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says. He insists on having strength, he says, because basically they respect strength. From a position of strength, you know, we can negotiate. No one negotiates from a position of weakness.
Right.
And we have to look back at America and say, you know, where has been our strength? What's happening? What is going on? Obviously, we have a Congress and a huge amount of the American populations and citizens that support Israel. We saw that with our very own eyes when the Prime Minister came and spoke to Congress, the standing ovations, the huge support. But Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was very clear. He indicated to us and explained to us that at least over three moments in history, Israel needed to do something in order to defend itself. And apparently there was American policy that was suggesting that they don't do that. But Israel had to stand alone. And history now tells us because they did stand alone and because they acted and did what they needed to do to defend themselves, they're still here. And so he told us if Israel has to stand alone, it will stand. And it's really interesting because we talked about on a previous program what Perry Stone was told, that within 4 years, Israel will no longer be dependent upon the United States. You listed four several things. We'll make sure that this is related to you and on the torch so that you can listen to it and watch that segment. But it was four things that Israel would have that would cause them to be independent and not dependent upon America. One of them was the medical technology that's going to be happening, the innovation, which is just like
the natural resources
way by far. You're going to go to natural gas and instead of being dependent on oil.
Military development.
Absolutely. And so Israel being dependent on the United States is it's our benefit. That's our blessing. You know what I mean? If you bless Israel, God said, you're going to be blessed.
Absolutely.
But there's a flip side to that. If you curse Israel, then you'll be cursed. When we get back from this break, we're going to be listening and watching Elie Wiesel, a Holocaust survivor, Jewish man from Hungary, authored over 50 books, Nobel Prize Peace winner, and he's going to share with us his heart regarding, you know, Jewish persecution, anti-Semitism, and what him and his wife do when they hear about this all over the world. We must empathize. We must be aware, and we must be alert to the sign of the times. I mean, Jesus told the Pharisees, you guys don't even know you don't even know the sign of the times. You don't even know what's going on. May that not be said of us. And we've been talking about Israel, Iran, nuclear weapons. And what are we going to do? How are we going to respond? And it just, you look at what's happening. You got to understand, like, really, are we coming to the point in our nation with our president and his administration, that we're literally are prepared to turn our backs on our number one ally, only ally, excuse me, in the Middle East, and partner with Iran? I mean, you think about the urgency. We already have sanctions. There's already sanctions in place. Sanctions, actually, many believe it's the sanctions, the economic sanctions, is what has Iran at the table today to negotiate. And so how are we allowing? The thing is, how do you go past a deadline? Mm-hmm. What's the point of having a deadline?
If you know you're just going to move it back repeatedly.
Well, who respects that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the president had a red line with Assad, said if you use chemical weapons, we're going to respond. It comes out that he used chemical weapons on his own people, and America doesn't respond. You say we have a deadline for March 31st. We're going to, if it doesn't happen, we're not going to accept a bad deal. We're not going to do it. And then we go past March 31st, and now we're like in overtime. What does that say? And what does that say about our strength? We're allowing Iran to dictate. The person who has the strength is the one that basically puts down the claims. This is what we're going to do here. Right. We're going to work with you. But this is who's leading it. And then we're allowing Iran to dictate. So now we're pushing past. Deadlines don't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
It means what we say doesn't mean anything. And understanding when you're dealing with the enemy, the only thing the enemy respects is authority. That was very clear to me when I had a dream where people were after us. And you can't negotiate with the enemy. You can't negotiate with the enemy. The enemy does not have, Satan does not have any compassion whatsoever. The only thing that Satan respects is the authority of Jesus Christ. And so we know that in the spiritual realm, but we know that in the natural realm that people respect strength. And so Iran seems to be the one that apparently is flexing this perceived strength, I guess, because in the middle of negotiating with the other countries in the United States, they are blowing up replicas of an aircraft carrier in the water. Their Iranian leader,
American aircraft.
Yeah, American aircraft leader is saying, we're going to annihilate, wiping Israel off the map and destroying Israel. That's non-negotiable. That's definitely going to do that. It's like, are you serious? They have chants in the streets, death to America, and this is who we're negotiating with. Really? I want you to hear from Elie Wiesel. As he talks about this meeting took place when the prime minister came to the United States to speak to Congress, and they were able to have this kind of breakout session that was led by, I believe, a rabbi, and Elie Wiesel was there, some other delegation, as well as Senator Ted Cruz. But I want you to hear Elie's heart as he responds to threats towards Jews all over the world. Watch this.
But nevertheless, I don't think that Jews today, even in one place or another, live in danger, under real threats. If yes, I should know, because I can tell you that both my wife and I are involved so much with Jewish life that whenever something happens to a Jewish community anywhere, 24 hours later we know about it, and sometimes I try to take a plane and go there, wherever it is. To be there,
to speak out again.
To be there, first of all, to say, I am there, I'm a witness, I am there. If Jews are threatened, I want to be there. If Jews suffer, I want to be there. Same time, if Jews are happy, Israel, I go to there. I used to go to Russia before it was possible. I went there when it wasn't so safe to go to Russia. I went there on Simchat Torah, of all these things, to be there on Simchat Torah, to dance with the Torah in the streets of Moscow in 65. But we did it.
It's Elie Wiesel. He said, within 24 hours, my wife and I are so involved that if we hear threats of anything happening to any Jewish people or community, we respond. And if we can, we're on a plane out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, to what? To be there. To be there. Because the moderator is saying, well, you're going to go there to speak. I said, listen, I want to be there. I want to stand. Oftentimes people think that they have to go and do something or they have to give money to say, there's always something that, listen, just being there, being present, standing. Let's start there. Let's start by just standing with people that are suffering. And in this case, the Jews and our fellow brothers and sisters, our Christian brothers and sisters. Let's just start by standing and being present and saying, I want to be there. To say that, listen, if you're persecuting the Jews, you're persecuting me.
Mm-hmm.
If you're persecuting my fellow brothers and sisters, Christians, you're persecuting me and you're persecuting Jesus. And I will stand if it costs me my business, If it costs me a reputation, if it costs me my job, it costs me money, my home, I will stand. And I want you to hear, as we continue to hear from Ellie, and Steve, this is amazing because he asked five United States presidents a very important question. Because people are thinking that, should I speak out? Should I say anything? Yeah, speak out. We are headed on a slippery slope with Iran right now. And that, there's so much of a narrative that says this has to happen. This has to happen. Nothing has to happen. You can walk away.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that should be done in haste. We can walk away. But you hear this consistent pounding of a narrative, and they exasperate the issue and put it out so much that it makes it seem like it's real and this is something that nothing has to happen. We can walk away. We can sound the alarm. And I want you to watch and listen intently to what Ellie says, because he unfolds an amazing thing, because they could have acted. He could have not have gone to Auschwitz and been, locked up in a prison camp. That could have been avoided. I want you to listen and watch as he shares and what he asked these five American presidents. Watch this.
We have America today. In my time, we didn't have America. Afterward, the Americans could have helped us much more. Whenever I would come to the White House, I used to come at times. I would ask the president, whoever it was, I asked five presidents a question. In 1944, what were you doing? Did you have good breakfast? What did you do? You knew it already. Because we in Hungary learned about it only in 1944, in April. April 1944. The entire world already knew about Auschwitz. We'd never heard the name Auschwitz. And Auschwitz from Sziget, my town, was maybe 100 kilometers away. We never heard about it. 1944, April. Why weren't we warned? Had the radio, we listened to the radio, London, if we had the radio, but the Jews of Hungary, don't go to the railway station. Just like that. Don't go to the railway station. Well, maybe 50% would not go. Maybe 20% would not go. My town was surrounded by mountains. We could have gone to the mountains. There were some Christian families that would have taken us in. They were good Christians, good people. We never heard the name Auschwitz and Sziget until we came there. How is it possible in 1944? And when I ask these questions, nobody has the answer.
What were you doing? That was the question he asked, Steve, in 1944, to five American presidents. He asked them, what were you doing in 1944? Because he's saying, you didn't tell me. They were 100 kilometers away from Auschwitz and never heard of the word Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. Never heard that there was a concentration camp where their fellow brothers and sisters were being burned alive. They were gassed first, and then they were not burned alive. They were being burned. And he said, no one told us.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you could have told us on the radio. We were listening to radio. Don't get on the trains. Don't get on the trains. But they weren't told. They said there was mountains. We could have hidden the mountains. But we weren't told. They were good Christians who would have helped us. This is Elie Wiesel saying, these were good Christians. They would have helped us. But we weren't told. There was nobody sounding the alarm. Nobody was communicating. And so, do we want that question asked of us? Do you want that question asked of you? What were you doing, personally, you, in 2015? When there were talks about Iran getting a nuclear weapon, were you saying, well, that's just the problem in the Middle East. That's not going to affect us. The Jews have always been fighting. It's biblical. It's biblical.
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing in 2015? when leaders are saying they want to annihilate and wipe Israel off the face of the earth? What were you doing in 2015 where ISIS is just having their way in the Middle East? These are questions that I believe everyone's going to be asked.
It makes me think about Dr. Martin Luther King, and I'm paraphrasing his statement, but he said, in those moments, we're not going to remember the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends.
Mm. I'll tell you what, today's the day to act. Today's the day to be aware. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about what happened in 1938 in Munich. It's called the Munich Agreement. Hitler could have been stopped, but instead, there was a policy of appeasement, and it wound up being deadly for 60 million people, 6 million of them being the Jews. You know, one of the things we were talking about, Steve, and as we're leading up to this, is what happened. Because, you know, Elie Wiesel saying, why weren't we told?
Yeah.
We're 100 kilometers away from Auschwitz. Why were we not told? What were you doing? What were you doing? And because they weren't told, he is a survivor. He's one of the lucky few, if you will, who's a survivor of Auschwitz and has lived to tell about the terror and the suffrage of the Jewish people because he experienced it. But there was an opportunity for him not to experience it. Because this is what happened. In Munich, Germany, there's a Munich Agreement of 1938. And the Prime Minister of England at the time was Neville Chamberlain. And one thing we learn about history is that oftentimes it repeats itself. And sometimes we learn nothing from history because we wind up doing the very same thing that we saw played out already. And so in 1938, they come with this Munich Agreement, as it's called. But what was going on is the Prime Minister of Great Britain was Neville Chamberlain. Hitler was over Germany, and he wanted to annex a part of Czechoslovakia. I believe it was Sudetenland. Because there was 3 million Germans who lived there, and he felt like that was part of their territory, and he wanted that. And so you're seeing an image right now on your screen. There's Neville Chamberlain, Hitler, an interpreter, and I believe that's Benito Mussolini on the far left. And so they come with this agreement, but this is what was just crazy. Hitler wanted this piece of property. He wanted to annex it. He wanted to take it. And so the Czechoslovakians were waiting for France to help defend them. Like Israel is expecting that that the United States will defend them. And also the Soviet Union had a treaty with the Czechoslovakia that indicated their willingness to help out. Listen, we'll help France, you know, we'll do this together. And Britain too, if Britain comes in, all three of us can stand against, you know, Hitler here. So there was already systems in place. There was already treaties in place. There was an agreement in place from France, from the Soviet Union, that if Great Britain had a buy-in, that we could stop Hitler here. We would come to the aid of Czechoslovakia. So what does the Prime Minister of Great Britain do? Because this is the thing. When you are a leader and you have this moment of truth, what are you going to do? As an individual, what are you going to do? I think about Harry Truman, President of the United States, when 1948 Israel becomes a Jewish a state, a nation, and Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, you know, declares Israel a Jewish state. And 11 minutes after Ben-Gurion declares a Jewish state, Harry Truman says, puts a full weight of the United States behind it and recognizes Israel. But what many people didn't know, and I didn't know, I just recently learned this when I watched the Four Blood Moons movie that just was released, was that during that time, many people in Harry Truman's cabinet was telling him not to. In fact, they told him that if you recognize Israel, we're going to leave our position in your cabinet. It's just been known now for 50 years, many people didn't know what Harry Truman was doing. But reports are, and as is indicated in this movie, that Harry Truman went away for 3 days to contemplate, to think about what he was going to do.
Wow.
And when he went away, you know what he was doing, Steve? He read the Bible.
Wow.
He read the Bible, and he remembered what his grandmother's mother taught him about Israel, and he came out saying, out of those 3 days, I want to be the president that welcomes the Jewish people. I want to be known for that. And thank God, his defining moment, he stood for what was right.
We're thankful he responded.
Yeah, but here you have Neville Chamberlain. This is his moment.
Yeah.
So what does he do? He goes to Munich, and he hammers out a deal with Hitler that they can basically annex Sudetenland. He's negotiating for Czechoslovakia, and he comes back to Czechoslovakia and says, hey, listen, go ahead and basically give them this territory. You can fight for it, but if you do, you're going to stand alone. You're going to be alone. And Czechoslovakia agrees. Said, okay, here, you can have Sudetenland. Okay, appeasement. Give them what they want. Give them the land. Give them Gaza. They'll be okay. They won't fight us. Give them Gaza. 8,000 rockets later. Give them the West Bank. Give them. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? This doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So Winston, Neville Chamberlain comes back. He tells Great Britain, listen, we achieved peace with honor. We achieved peace with honor. And there's no war. And we negotiated this. And you can be. All we need to do is talk about this. All we need to do is talk with our enemies, right? Winston Churchill criticizes Neville Chamberlain. And Winston Churchill says, you were given, you're looking at an image right now of Winston Churchill, says, you were given the choice between war and dishonor, and you chose dishonor. And now you'll have war. Listen to Winston Churchill's words. You were given the choice between honor, between war and dishonor. And you chose dishonor, and now you'll have war. This is exactly the same thing we're having right now. We are at this moment. Is it the Neville Chamberlain mm-hmm. moment? Yeah, we're at this moment where the President of the United States could say, we have the choice to choose Israel,
absolutely,
our allies, our friends, like many in you will, in the Congress, in the Senate, who have said, we don't want Iran to have a nuclear. Mm-hmm. We want these sanctions in place. We want them to prove that they're not going to make this uranium, enrich this uranium to create this nuclear weapon. We want to have measurable things in place. This is the defining moment. What is going to happen? And I'm telling you that what if Neville Chamberlain would have said, you know what, France, you know what, Soviet Union, let's do this. Let's stop Hitler now. Well, guess what? Neville Chamberlain, he wound up finding out that his policies were discredited because in the following year, history tells us that Hitler went right into Poland, invaded Poland, and many believe that was the start of World War II. You see, if you keep giving the enemy a little bit at a time, mm-hmm. a little bit at a time, it's like giving something to a bully. Before you know it, you're bait. You're done. There's nothing left to give. There's nothing left to give. And this is what we cannot do. We cannot surrender, you know, Israel over. We cannot be a partner, if you will, on the side of evil. It's not like they're discrediting it. It's not like they're hiding it. They're telling you plainly, we're going to annihilate them. We're telling you plainly. We don't even care about our own country. This is the Ayatollah. We don't care about our own country. We don't mm-hmm. worship Iran. We worship Allah. This is what the Ayatollah Khomeini said. And if Iran must go, hey, he says that's a small price to pay because for the destruction of Israel. And I want to tell you that this is a moment for America. And I know that overwhelmingly many Americans stand with Israel, but we have an elected representative. We have a president. I want to pray with you. We can stand together. We can see this tide turn. Let's stand in the gap. Father, Lord, we just pray. We come to you right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, for Americans, for our president. Lord, speak to him in a dream. Speak to him in a vision, Lord. And say, no, we will not partner with evil. We're going to stand with our friends, Israel. We are going to continue to defend them and protect them. And we're not going to partner with evil. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to protect Jews and Christians all over the world and help us all individually stand for Jesus and the Jews and our Christians suffering all over the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFNTV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.